This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, this hour, Brock and Salk is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. God, I love you guys. I do. I love you guys. I love love. Like Earl Thomas, man. I love you guys. Full phone lines. Everybody wants to weigh in. Everybody's got a takeaway. There's something about this Mariner team that has captured the callers, man.
Yep.
Say what you want. There were 20,000 people there last night. Our listeners, you guys, want to talk, not just listen to talk about the Mariners. You guys have an opinion and you want to say something.
You know,
about
I'm so into it. I just saw the wonderful Danny O'Neill. He's walking down here.
We watched the game together last night.
Yeah.
We had a blast.
That's what he said. Great time. And he said, man, you feel this thing turning in the city a little bit. And it's like, I don't know if, you know, this thing's ever. And I said, Danny, I'm always reminded of my old teammates from the Seahawks to come back to town. And they all say the same thing. Like, I don't recognize this place. What are all these 12 flags and posters? Like, what is all of this? This was a couple years ago. Because it was Mariners mania.
Yeah.
It was Mariner mayhem in the late 90s, the early 2000s. It was, and I've told you this before, man, it was 44,000 in that park every single night.
Well, we're not there yet.
But you and I, and I think Danny, you just feel some of this goodwill and some of this momentum of an unbelievably likable team that is changing some of our paradigm of, when is this thing going to fall? Oh, when is the June swoon? Oh, when is this? I don't want to think. No, think of them as winners. Their manager does. Last night he said the same thing. You know, this is my biggest number one takeaway. Let's go. Let's bring on these next couple weeks. We're not going to back down. In fact, can't wait to play really good competition because more than likely it'll bring out the best in us.
Me personally, our coaching staff, really looking forward to the next couple weeks of baseball. We really believe in this team. Our guys believe in themselves. And, you know, we're going to face some good clubs. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right, that's Brock jumping the gun on the takeaways.
Sorry.
We don't even have our music yet. Fungo Pepper.
Been a while with this, too.
Who first called this Fungo Pepper music, Kyle?
I think it's a Wassel thing.
Is it Wassel or Paisley?
All right, Howdy's bringing it in. This is going to be the new entrance of the top five.
Howdy parades it in like Vanna White.
Yes, here it comes. Like a ringside.
Over your head,
Howdy's
Howdy.
Bringing
Over
in, your head. He's bringing the top five
Over
board.
Your head.
Yes.
The way, like, they march the Olympic torch in before the beginning of the Olympics. Dun, 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 dun. All right.
Can I get a little more energy than that?
Mariners takeaways with your calls. I got takeaways. Brock's got takeaways. Before we do it, Brock, I'm gonna start with the caller. Since you said it's been on us that we haven't had enough takeaway calls,
yes.
We'll start with a caller. Josh is in Kirkland. Josh, give me one takeaway that you've had from the Mariners recently.
Hey, yeah. Fellas.
What's up, dude?
Good show.
Thanks, man.
I think that the biggest thing for me, and I know people have said it, but I was watching them last night, and I think there's something about these guys' grit and their just ability to stick together and come from behind and win these one-run ball games. I know the statisticians say they'll catch up, but I'd be curious to hear what you say on this, Brock, from playing with teams that you know. Like, there's just an extra kind of, we've got this. The energy's different, and, like, how many games did they come from behind last night? They go down 2-0 with two bombs hit right away, and they come right back. And it's just, I feel like there's something to that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that call. I mean, I think there's two things, and we've hit on this over the last couple weeks. Salk lives in the identity world. You love it, man. You've loved it for decades as you've watched these teams as they just kind of take shape. And this team got a pretty clear identity of what they want to be. You know, the Angel got a bunch of non-athletes like Pujols and Maldonado. They just can't run. They can't do anything. You just don't see that with the Mariners. I mean, these guys, even Nelly Cruz now, as he's gotten his legs back and feeling a little bit better, they've got a clear identity of kind of what they want to be. And then on top of it, and most important, in the two best teams I ever played on, you know, not even record-wise, but just the two best teams were those that really, when you cared more about the guy next to you than you do yourself. Mm-hmm. And I know that's an old adage, and it's a golden rule and everything else, but when you get that in sport, like, I don't want to let my guy down. I'm not going to let Olin Kreutz down. He's going to choke me out if I just am a wimp in here, but I'm not going to let him down.
Let me put a little context to the call there. First of all, it was their 19th comeback win of the season last night, so he was asking for the number. The number is 19 comeback wins, 19 of their 42 wins. They've had to come from behind in.
Still called a comeback in the first inning?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Jason Churchill had our buddy, a Prospect Insider, had an interesting little point last night on these one-run games. Saying, all right, well, people say they're getting lucky because they're winning so many of these one-run games. They're 21-9 in those one-run games for overall record of 42-24. Which means they're 21-15 in games that are decided by more than one run. His interesting point was, okay, let's say they had a more normal one-run game differential. Let's say they went 17-13 in one-run game. So they were better than 500, but they weren't like otherworldly the way they've been. If that was the case, they'd be 38-28.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like they'd then be bad. They'd still be a really good team. They'd be just ahead of the Angels. They'd still be your number one wild card team.
Yes.
I mean, like, this is not a fluke. I mean, maybe they've had a couple of games that have gone in their favor, but A, winning one run games, there is a skill to it. It's because of a good bullpen and guys coming up in big spots. And
when is it going to stop, guys? When is it going to stop?
Exactly.
It's getting really annoying.
Limiting some of the damage. And it's not the only reason they are where they are. So a lot of credit there. Lydia, your buddy there from Astros Rants, my new favorite Twitter follow. Did you see his tweet yesterday about why he hasn't put his picture up yet?
No.
He's afraid that women will find him too attractive.
Are you kidding?
He doesn't want to deal with the hassle.
That is Rosslonian.
You know what?
I just have
to step back and admire the flat-out pure confidence that person has.
Oh my God.
I wish I could just bottle that and have just a portion.
I love that guy. All right. Takeaway from me, Brock. Hot Nelson Cruz is so fun. When Nelson Cruz is on the way he's on right now, there is no one on this team that is more fun to watch than him.
The next pitch swung on in a drive. Deep to straightaway center field. Going. Goodbye baseball to the bottom of the batter's eye.
That was the first one. That was sort of a normal Nelson Cruz home run to center field. The second one.
Here is the 2-2 to Nelly. Swing and a drive again. Straightaway center field. Trout going back, looking up. Goodbye baseball, straightaway center field. Lightning striking twice. Nelson Cruz, second at bat, second home run of the ball game.
All arms. That's a low outside fastball that he manages to not get his body behind and just raw strength it out to center
field. Like my golf swing and why it's only 225, because
exactly.
I don't use my body. But his baseball swing, even if it's arms, still hits at 410 feet.
Because when he's good, things are about to get real loud. That's what Jerry DePoto said a couple of weeks ago in Scott Service. Pretty impressed with his DH.
Yeah, it certainly looks that way health-wise. He feels good about his swing and where his body's at right now, which is great. And home run hitters, it goes in streaks. You know, you'll see guys hit, you know, 5, 6, 7 in a 10-day period. They just get in that groove, and he's certainly in a really good groove right now. So hopefully we can ride it for as long as we can. I think we'll look up at the end of the year, and you'll get a typical Nelson Cruz year here.
That'd be pretty good. Scott Service going to join us.
You're a bad man when your name is Boomstick.
Nelson Cruz. Scott Service is going to join us tomorrow. We'll go down to Safeco before the early game. Takeaways, 206-421-3776. We've got ours, you got yours. Anthony's in Seattle. Anthony, what's the takeaway from this Mariners season so far?
All right. Hi, Brock and Salk. How you guys doing this morning?
Hey, man.
Doing great, brother. Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to say that I was at the game yesterday, and, you know, although it was a Monday, you know, we were loud. There were 20,000 people there. We were all on our feet at the very end. It was a great game, but I just want to talk about Wade LeBlanc for a second. You know, I had my doubts during the season at the beginning, you know, is this sustainable or not? But, man, when he had that bases loaded K, I mean, there's nothing left to prove. He is legit.
What did he yell, Anthony? What do you think he yelled?
What?
What do you think he yelled when he struck that dude out? Did you see him just kind of give a little – he gave a little sum. What do you think he yelled?
I don't know. Just a, oh, baby. Yeah.
Oh, baby!
Told you, we played the sound of it, man. This was the moment last night. LeBlanc, bases loaded in the fifth. Justin Upton up.
The 3-2 on the way. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Wade LeBlanc strikes out Justin Upton and retires the side. The Angels leave the bases loaded. Ice water in the veins of Wade LeBlanc. Gets out of a bases loaded jam, and that's it for the Halos. Here in the top of the fifth inning, what a job by LeBlanc.
Yes! You're normally totally calm. But...
All right, he didn't yell quite that loud.
I like to picture it something in French. Maybe like the chef in Little Mermaid. Zutala! Yeah.
I don't know. I think his
be amazing.
His Roll Tide roots doesn't get enough credit. You got that Alabama blood in him, man. He got that crimson. He's got that Roll
He's
Tide.
Got that fa-fa.
That's
He's
what
got
I'm
that fa-fa.
I can picture a little Scotty Cochran coming out of him.
He got that fa-fa.
Be careful with your voice, bro.
No, I actually could do that one okay.
Come down. Protect on that butt.
That's what he yelled when he struck.
Hit it.
He's not saying hit it. That's the last thing he wants them to do.
Get that fire, fire.
There it is.
Get that fire.
That was Wade LeBlanc after striking out Upton last night.
You got to live for the pain. Live for the pain.
I love it. He strikes out Justin Upton, pumps his fist, and screams to the heavens.
Get that fire, fire. Get that fire.
Just hit your hand on the mic.
I don't care. Wade LeBlanc has a pulse of like 44. 44 beats per minute. It's like him and Dustin Johnson have the same pulse rate. They're barely alive. And yet even he was pumped up by that moment last night. Oh. Enough to yell, I got that fa-fa.
The snap, crack, and pop in that fat. Bow, 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 bow.
All right, takeaways, 206-421-3776. Takeaways from this Mariners season. Brock, go ahead.
More calls.
No, you got one. You want to do another call?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Let me get a good call here. Let me get a good one. Tom is in Tacoma. Tom, give us a Mariner takeaway.
Good morning, guys. How's everybody doing?
We got that fa-fa.
Nothing better than a feeling like that.
Give us a takeaway.
My takeaway is watching last night, and I continue to see it, is just the high level of defense playing behind this great pitching. Like, you know, whether it's Seager on the hot corner or Ryan Healy sacrificing his body all the time or Gamble diving for that foul ball a couple games ago. It's just that I haven't seen it in a while, and it's just a really great thing to watch. It brings another level of excitement, and you can see it in the pitchers and see it in the players.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Tom. Thank you for the phone call. And even last night wasn't necessarily their best with Gene and that ball Maldonado hit, man. That got right on top of Seager so fast. But, Tom, even a novice baseball guy like myself with a novice eye sees their jumps on the ball in the outfield.
Mm.
Like, especially when you're at the game, you know, because you're immediately, you know, your eyes can scan faster than times the camera angles. They're trying to figure out which camera shot you're going to get. And, you know, your eyes immediately jump, man. And there is just no more false starts. There's no Nori Aoki, you know, runarounds. There's no. I mean, it is a beeline, Mitch, and all of them already, all of them in that outfield.
It's funny because last night was not their best defensive outing. I mean, you kind of go through last night. Yeah, you had a nice play
Span
from Span.
Had a heck of a play.
But other than that, you get an error from Segura in the eighth. You got Haniger, who wasn't able to come up with that ball in right field. What was that in the sixth or seventh? You had Kyle Seager let a ball go right past him earlier in the game. I mean, Wade LeBlanc not able to get to first base in time to cover the back. So you kind of had four plays in last night's game that were not all errors.
Made. No, they have made.
Yeah,
say,
they weren't all errors, but they were all plays that this team has generally made. And yet you find a way to survive that. And that's what I think has been special about them is most of the time those things haven't happened to them. But when they have, they found ways to overcome during those games, get a big strikeout. I mean, you get that big strikeout. The reason you've got to get Upton is because of the error Seager made.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know if it was an error. I mean, that's a right. tough.
The ball Seager couldn't get to.
Yes. The ball that just was destroyed and he just couldn't quite get in front. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And you know, you almost saw Trout late in the game. Because that's a play Haniger's made all year in the eighth. You know, he's went and he's gotten that ball this season. So even with that, they still overcome it.
Give me one of your takeaways.
You know, is Segura's swing getting shorter and shorter in the most positive ways? Like, you know, I think he's a guy that's got a little juice and a little pop. And if he wanted to hit 15 or 20 home runs, I think he's got the capability to do it. The power numbers are down a little bit, but the contact rate in the hitting is absurd. And just watching him, again, when you just close like that, you just see his hands. And now that I'm trying to teach Titus, and I'm watching hitting videos and whatever, I got friends in it, they're trying to teach what you know, how important those hands are in hitting, right? No loops, no extra movement. And his hands, Mike, are just right, you know, just right out in front of him. And there's just, I mean, it's just right to the ball, right to the ball. And yeah, his contact rates, I think it was John Smoltz, right, about a month ago, saying he can't wait for that team that says, the heck with all this home run power, the heck with all of this swing playing up, the heck with all of that, and I want to find contact guys to put the ball in play. And Gene Segura does it as well
as
anybody in baseball.
Yeah, hit him with
you. Yeah, it is. But you make it look easy.
I keep coming back. Segura's kind of been on my takeaway list as well, and for good reason. He's, what, second or third in the league in hitting. Every night he's on base a couple of times. Three more hits last night. I really enjoyed the interview that Danny David Moore did with him. I just happened to be looking here. It was May 21st. That's where he first said how hard it was to be the hitting machine. But he had a couple points in there that I just thought were really, I don't know, instructive as to how much he's grown up and the kind of role he's played here since arriving in Seattle. Last year, he looked happy. This year, he looks overjoyed, and he explains.
I just go home, and I can't wait to the next day to come here and play baseball, because now my love for the game, it came back. You know, it came back. Even if, you know, I'm 0-4 or 0-20, still, I'm still gonna feel a love for the game. That was the problem, that before I don't feel that kind of love. I go to the field, I was kind of lost. I was kind of powery. I was kind of like, I don't care what happened. Now I'm care.
Pretty cool.
He's been empowered. He's been empowered to lead, and he went on to credit his manager for a lot of that.
He's talking to us. Hey, you okay? Family wise, you know, everything going well for you. I said, okay. But, you know, Scotty's been great. Right now we're in the tough stretch, and we need to stay possible. We can, you know, to get that, you know, that negative news away, you know. Still, we're going to miss Robbie for 80 games, and we need to continue to battle. I mean, we're right here close. We're not too far for the race, and let's do it.
A year ago, I think there was some question as to how much he cared. He got picked off a whole bunch of times. His base running was poor. His defense was substandard.
Yeah, his base running metrics were the worst on the team.
Yeah, I think there were some. I think Scott challenged him a little bit to be better this year, and I think it's great to see the way Segura has responded.
It's tough to be a hitter machine.
Right, it's not easy.
Hey, by
he
the
is
way.
Now batting .343, second in the majors in hits, second in batting average, and tied for fifth in runs scored. So yeah, vote he's, all-star, he, vote Gene Segura.
He's always getting a hit, right?
It's ridiculous. I've forgotten what the bases look like when he's not on. Like, it's weird.
Imagine how hard it is to hit 400. As many. I heard, who was talking about this the other day? Was it Aaron? I think it was Aaron who was talking about this on the broadcast. And he's like, dude, how is anybody ever going to hit 400?
I don't know.
Like, Gene Segura is always getting a hit, and he's hitting .343. Yep. How do you hit 400? Yep. No way. Not,
how do you
not
hit Eddie Diaz, by the way? I'll give you one more takeaway before a few of you on the phones as well.
Yeah, 206-421-3776 if you got one.
How do you hit Eddie Diaz? When you're down there around home plate and you're looking at the legs and the arms and the action and everything's flying at you. Right, we talk about Nick Vincent and the deception that he has and his delivery and how hard it is to pick up the baseball and why he has one of the highest swing and miss rates with his fastball. I mean, Eddie Diaz, the level of deception, the level of moving parts, and then the pure, utter explosion of that baseball out of his hands. To see Maldonado, did he try to bunt last night? Was he just like, I'm
I don't know what he was doing.
He was, this is 99.
I don't think he knew what he was doing.
What do you want? I'm a catcher, okay? I've caught a lot of guys. But as Zunino says, like, Eddie Diaz at 99 is just different. It's just different. And even he's like, yeah. Good luck.
You know, I say when I am the mom, I am the bad guy every time. You know, nobody. I don't care who is in the bag and hitting. You know, it's my friend for mine or another guy. You know, I want to be the bad guy and get him out. You know, I don't care who is hitting or who's coming. You know, I just want to get my out and give the team chance to win.
You got to see him last night from up close and personal. Where I've noticed it is in Tampa, where you actually get the straight over the top of the pitcher's head camera angle instead of the one that is offset.
Yeah.
Please, please, I beg of this every year when they go to places like Minnesota and Tampa. Please get the camera overhead instead of offset over the right shoulder.
Right.
It is worlds better, and you can see how hard Eddie Diaz is to hit. When you watch him on TV normally, it's like, well, clearly he's filthy and they're having trouble hitting him. They can't catch up and he throws hard, but it's hard to see why it's so hard. When you see him from the direct overhead view, you see how nuts his arm angles are. Like, how does anybody hit that?
Could you just stand in there, you think?
No.
I'm not talking
no
about
chance.
Hit.
Nope.
I'm just saying
no.
Stand in.
Nope, couldn't do it.
And think you could
nope.
get out it like that, kid, that,
nope.
that ball to Kinsler.
Nope.
That just zinged right by his belt. Like,
nope.
Ooh.
No way. There's no way you could do it without bailing. None. There's no chance, especially he throws you that slider. First of all, if you saw a pitcher throwing 90, forgetting about 100, guy throwing 90, you'd be bailing. That'd be my guess if you haven't seen a pitch like that before. And
it's hearing the flight of the ball.
Exactly.
Hearing the ball flying through the air.
As that windup is coming at you from you know, just slightly east of hell is where that arm angle is.
Earmuffs, Lydia. When you say things like this, will you please say earmuffs?
That's not a curse.
No.
In this case, I'm actually talking about the place. That's where his arm is coming from. I'm not using a curse word. I'm talking about Hades.
Cool.
You're bailing as his arm is coming forward. You're already starting to bail because you think that thing, especially as a righty, is coming at you.
From
right?
behind you.
Exactly. So you're already starting to bail. So if you just saw a guy throw a 90, if he threw a batting practice 90-mile-an-hour fastball, you'd back out. If he then takes that same 90 and throws the slider and starts it inside and lets it drop back over the plate, you would not be able to stand in. No chance, no way, no how.
Nope.
Forgetting about swinging a bat and making a decision. You just wouldn't be able to stand there.
So he throws from Haiti. He's truly throwing that fire.
Just east of
there. He is.
Got that fire.
Have you guys seen the documentary Fastball that's on Netflix?
Yeah.
It talks about how your brain physically cannot process mentally. Nope. So there's almost a lapse in what you visually take in. So that's why so many people say the ball rises is because, there's like film cut out from the middle of the pitch.
So amazing.
So, the fact that guys are just up there sort of just swinging without even mental processing.
Well, he looked nasty last night. Give him a couple days off.
Filthy slider.
These things certainly help him. We had a caller on earlier, and the guy dropped off who was talking about how he knows when things are going to be hyped at the ballpark at night. What was he saying, Kyle, that as he's driving up, he kind of looks at the cost of
parking? Yeah, the price at the Safeco Garage is the indicator of how many fans
now, whether he parks there or not, it's just sort of the indicator.
He knows.
Of
if it's a $50 night, this thing's a sellout. Right. If it's a $20 night, there's less than 20,000 people.
I'll tell you, I kind of understand
dynamic
that.
Pricing.
I thankfully feel very lucky for this. Seriously, I understand parking is a huge pain for people. I'm very lucky to have media parking when I go there, and I don't have to pay for it, so I get that. Yep. I am incredibly lucky to have that, but you kind of still feel the how full that garage is and how hard they're working directing traffic what it's going to look like, and even from a media perspective, how many media cars are in the media area, whether that's going to be off the charts, and when Boston's going to be in town next week, that there's going to be a ton of people showing up from the media, that element of it, how many of the TV stations, how many TV trucks are in the back. You are starting
feeling
to see
more and more of it, man.
Dude, I love going in the Safeco Garage. Every time I go in there, there's a guy. I think there's two different attendants. Every time I come in, I'm driving that Chevy Traverse from my good friends over at Evergreen.
You like that?
Dude. It's the Redline model. And every time I go in, this dude's just like, love the Redline, dude. I'm like, thanks, buddy. And I feel like a real car guy for a minute. Like, he knows that he thinks that I know how cool the Redline thing is.
You want me by Felix's Bentley? Yes.
Yeah. Right next to the Bentley.
Yeah, it's got the 5.7 liter V8 on here, a turbocharged Hemi.
Dude, no joke on that Traverse, the technology in it. It has a wireless charger for my phone. Don't have to deal with plugging in the iPhone.
Yeah,
you just put it on a pad. Coolest thing I've ever gotten. All right, you want to keep taking calls here?
Yes.
All right, good. 206-421-3776.
We were going to talk about Bobby Wagner, the 21st best player.
Yeah, we're not going to do that.
But maybe we'll do that like 9:15.
Maybe, or maybe we won't get to it today. We'll wait and see. Because right now, you guys have Mariners observations, and we want to take them. It's more of them next on Brock and Salk.
Locked in, 100%. Got that fire. Got that fire.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Eddie leans in, gets the sign from Zunino. Here's the stretch and the 1-2 pitch. Fastball. Swing and a miss for strike three. A fastball up at the upper end of the strike zone at 99 miles an hour.
He was excited. Who could blame him? Who could blame him? Wade LeBlanc, a huge strikeout in fifth, end a bases-loaded threat. Mariners go on to win it once again last night. 5-3, your final. Edwin Diaz coming up with the save. It's Brock and Salk here, 710 ESPN Seattle. This hour brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Phone lines A blaze in full, bro. 206-421-3776. Going through a bunch of our takeaways and yours from kind of the last few games and where they're at. I know you had a few more because you were right there last night.
Let me give you a couple little quirky ones, and we'll bounce through these. Jabari Blash's stance, what are you doing, man? What in life do you do athletically with your feet totally close together? Like when I'm trying to coach, like we will at our football camp here, July 18th, 710 Sports, and you know, all our volunteers, everybody here. Like the number one thing that I teach a young quarterback is you want to get yourself an athletic stance, whether you're under center or when you go to throw, you know, the position that you would jump in, the position you would, you know, sprint or squat, whatever. Like there's nothing you do in life in any manner in that kind of stance that he started with. It was patently absurd. And to see him late on just about every fastball was awesome. Equally, Mike Trout's warm-up, you ever watch him warm up in the batting circle? He warms up unlike any baseball player I've ever seen. Like, he hits nine irons. Like, his swing loop is, like, it just, most of the guys, you know, put the little weight on and everything's flat and they're looking at their hands, they're coming into the plane and everything else. He just, like, gets in this swing loop of, you know, I'm gonna hit a three-wood. And lo and behold, well, he hits a few of them. Yeah. Or maybe, in this case, driver. Maybe he's more Jim Moore to Dave Wyman Streetwood.
Those guys were funny yesterday talking about that. If you heard the interview with the young kid, Mariners first round pick, what's his name? Gilbert?
Logan Gilbert.
Logan Gilbert. They were trying to get him to weigh in on whether or not it's appropriate to use a three-wood off the tee or whether it's kind of weak.
Yeah.
He kind of said that he uses driver. He was very non-judgmental.
Yes.
But he
go big or go home. And are my eyes deceiving me? But is Kyle Seager not being shifted as severely? Now that he's hit a few balls at least the other way? Because I don't know the last time I saw a grounder on the right side of the infield for a base hit.
My guess is that Mike Socia doesn't know what a real shift is. All right. That comes down from the analytics department. And Socia's like, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I don't think they really do that.
Gotcha. Okay. All right.
Back in my day, we didn't shift.
What?
I don't know.
Okay.
So back in my day, we didn't shift is what I was saying. 206-421-3776. Grab one of your takeaways as well. Josh is in University Place, the center of it all. What's up, Josh?
That's right. Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, man.
So I have an observation and a prediction. Hope that's all right.
Sure.
So my observation is I love how Jerry DePoto is, like, out moneyballing the A's. I just feel like there's so much value with the pitchers that he's gotten. And when everyone's looking for velocity and spin rate and all this stuff, he's gotten the law firm of Gonzalez, Leak, and LeBlanc to, you know, perform at this really, really high level, and I think that's just
Isn't that cool? I mean, for all the talk that in baseball there were no more inefficiencies, that's been the talk the last few years, right? Sabermetrics has changed. It's no longer about looking for inefficiencies. It's all about spin rate and launch angle and all these other things. And right when you think there are no more inefficiencies, Jerry went out and found one over the last 6 months. Pretty impressive.
Oh, absolutely, and it's pitching to me is about location and timing and all those things, and he found three guys that do that phenomenally, and the coaching staff has just bought in, and I just love that. Mm. So my prediction, though, is a little different. I think the Mariners are going to make the playoffs, and we're going to view Robinson Cano like Moses. He's going to lead us to the promised land, but he can't go in.
That's exactly right.
Oh, that's good.
They both swing sticks. And they can't go to the promised land, but they'll lead us there.
So, who else did we compare? Chris Hansen, too. Yeah. It's Chris Hansen and Robinson Cano and Moses, a great trio who all have the same thing in common. They started the process, but they weren't able
don't
to actually
get to realize any of the fruits.
They
of
don't
it.
Get to and actually step no. forward and into it. Good stuff. Good phone call, man. I don't know if it's. I mean, that's kind of top five worthy. I don't know if it makes its way in, but
not bad.
Pretty good call with some good observations.
Not bad. I liked your observation.
I'll give you a few, and I hesitate because these are sort of back end of the roster type observations. But a couple things I've noticed recently. First of all, I love Scott Service using Ryan Cook in the eighth last night.
Yep.
You know, he is essentially, you know, one of your last two or three arms in the bullpen. He hasn't really been used in too many high leverage spots. They used. They had already used Bradford in the sixth, then they went with Pazos in the seventh, and I'm going, all right, I think they'd really like to stay away from using Colomé again and see if they can add on and maybe not even have to use Diaz. I love him using Ryan Cook in a high leverage spot in the eighth there to try to get through it. Showed a little faith in his guy, which is going to pay dividends later. Yep. You use some different people. You rest an arm like Colomé, which I think they needed to do. And you give Cook a shot against Trout. It didn't work. He hit about 465-foot home run. But he gave him a shot against Trout. You get to see whether or not that's going to work down the line. And maybe now you know it won't. But I think Scott's done a really good job of empowering his people. And you know, some of the other names I mentioned there, these are not the big household names on the Mariners. So if you're just joining the Mariners run, these aren't names that are going to be as familiar to you. But what Pazos and Bradford have done have been incredible.
Yes.
Pazos, I think, is the second best reliever on the team right now, which I did not. I was saying the opposite of that a month ago. I didn't trust the guy at all.
And
he has really emerged as a threat, throwing 96 out of the pen.
You should have trusted Pazos since we saw him roll in his rusted out 1993 Bronco. It was like, dude, this guy is he's a everyman.
The other thing that's funny about Pazos is that for whatever reason, people seem to think he doesn't speak English. Like people seem to come up to James Pazos and think that he only speaks Spanish, and he's like he's just an American dude. He speaks English.
California.
It's so funny. He's just like, I speak English. Sorry, man. It's pretty funny.
Beautiful.
So he's been excellent. And the other is Chasen Bradford. Here's a dorky comparison for you. Chasen Bradford is the Dominic Leone of the staff.
Yep.
Remember a few years ago when the Mariners had the best bullpen ever created, and even Dominic Leone ended up being good?
Yep.
He wasn't really used in high leverage spots, but he was like this extra guy who was really good. Mm-hmm. Chasen Bradford's got an ERA of like 1.8.
Oh, what do you mean?
Something.
He's now pitched 9.2 straight scoreless innings going back to May 17th. That streak is the 11th longest
in
America.
And I don't know whether he's going to find himself as the next 7th or 8th inning guy, but with all the one-run games they've played and all the extra inning wins they've had, that's where it takes a guy like Bradford to come in and give you an inning or two scoreless, shut the other team down, and give you an opportunity to get it done as well. So a couple of quick ones. 206-421-3776, taking some of your takeaways as well. How about Kevin, who's in Mount Vernon? Some new names out here today. I like it. Kevin, go ahead.
Hey, guys. First-time caller, long-time listener, loved your show.
Very cool. Glad you finally decided to call today.
Yeah, why now, Kevin? Why this day today?
Well, I'm a Mariner fan. I'm a Wade LeBlanc fan because I went to the same high school with him in Louisiana. So you got it wrong, Brock. It's not an Alabama accent. That's a Louisiana accent from Lake Charles.
Exactly.
And love that guy. But I've been listening to the Mariners for years, and this is a very loose analogy, but it's almost like they're like the Warriors. You don't know where you're going to get the contribution. Your 7, 8, and 9 hitters can contribute on a given night. Do you remember years ago, I used to look at the roster and hope utility man Willie Bloomquist was playing because he was batting 270, right, and he was actually literally leading the team in batting average. Mm. We've come a long ways. I mean, when you have Healy, when you have Zanino, Gamble, all at the 7, 8, and 9 spot contributing the way they are, you just always know you're in the game.
That's a great
even
call.
Even when we lose, we're competitive.
Yeah, Kevin, that is a great call. And Salk and I were even saying on the inverse of that a little bit this morning, like D's had a rough time. Since D. Gordon has been back, he's had a rough time. I was looking at Haniger again last night, hitting that 3 spot. He's hitting 217. Like his average has dropped 50-some points. But you know what? It doesn't matter because he kind of absorbed those. In the past, Kevin, you know, those were like, oh, my gosh, this is just an anchor. And, you know, and it just crushes your line. You get a couple guys on base, but here's an anchor, out, now we're out. Mm. And with this team, they're just absorbing it. And D's going to get hot again. You know what? Mike Zanino goes 0-for-3, doesn't touch a baseball last night. Doesn't matter. Somebody else is going to come up and pick it up, and that's the ultimate compliment of a team in a team sport.
Yeah, there are definitely some guys who are not
hitting. No. I mean, Mitch, I think there's probably – maybe I'll ask Scott tomorrow if we get a chance to talk to Scott Service with the businessman's game, the matinee, and just say, hey, man, you know, is there any time to just kind of slide him out of that 3 spot? Because, it's been a little bit of a struggle.
Yeah, he has struggled. Healy has struggled until the home run last night. I mean, you sort of watch some guys like
– it doesn't matter.
They're surviving it.
They are.
They seem to survive those things every single night. Thanks for all the phone calls.
Back!
That's helping. There's no doubt that stuff really, really helps them. All right, we got you guys all over the phone. Maybe see if we can get back to it at 9 o'clock or so, right after we talk to John Morosi. Get a national baseball perspective as the All-Star game creeps closer, voting now underway. Is Segura going to find a way into that? I mean, the guy's hitting, what was it, 343?
Yes.
Yeah, who wants to put that guy in the All-Star game? Can we see if we can make that happen? You can go vote at MLB.com. We'll talk to John Morosi of MLB Network at 9 o'clock right after the news. Next, I'm Brock and Salk.
Good news.
Yeah!
Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
Go figure, really? Brock and Salk's have Denny SB in Seattle. You gonna be okay on that board there, Kyle? The music is really loud.
Wow.
Did you turn down the music a little bit?
It's really loud.
Can't even find the mic.
Kyle, you're the king of the board ops. The least you could do is be able to turn the music down.
Where'd Lydia go, by
Get Lydia back here.
She's in the hall. She was getting uncomfortable with Mike's ranting.
What is in the news?
Robinson Cano and D. Gordon will split time at second base when Cano returns from his suspension.
No, they won't. Not really. I mean, they kind of will, but not really. This is going to be D's job. This team's going to continue this amazing run. And Jerry kind of went on to say that. That was a conversation that Jerry DePoto had with the great Jerry Krasnick, the very uber-positive Jerry Krasnick, and talking about, what are you going to do? How are you going to get Robbie back into the fold? I think in many ways, in the cases, Mike, this just tends to work itself out. And, you know, be it an injury somewhere else, someone else's tweak, maybe an opportunity to play a little first, some second here to give D's body a little bit of break. But let's not kid ourselves. It's going to be D. Gordon second base, pushing this team into the playoffs.
You know, you say that, and I think you're probably right. And I think that if there's a spot for Cano, it's probably at first base doing some level of platooning with Ryan Ealy. Have you looked at D's numbers recently? You kind of talk about some of those guys who have struggled. D's struggled, especially since coming back from the foot injury. I mean, he's hitting .280 on the year, but the on-base percentage is just .301, OPS of .661. Since he's come back, I only remember a couple of hits. He's not hitting the ball hard. He's not having productive at-bats. He's not getting on base. He's got 19 steals, which leads the league, but he can't get on base. He can't steal too many bags. So he's going to have to hit in order to make sure that he's got that stranglehold in the second base job.
And he will.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Lakers are the new favorites to land LeBron James, according to oddsmakers.
No news. Actually, you know what is news? I don't care whether he goes to the Lakers
or not. Oh, Mike's back.
But what I...
the second time you've done that in 2 days.
Oh, he's back.
What?
Oh, I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah, never
mind. Wait, actually, I do have something
to say. Well, there's something I wanted to say about LeBron. I really liked what he had to say yesterday. I loved his comment that the most impressive thing he could do in his career would be to play with his son. He'd have to be 40 years old and his son would have to make the NBA. But if that happens, that would be unbelievable. If he was still going strong enough at age 40, I mean, he's the GM, coach, and player on his team. So obviously, if he wants to do it, he can. But if he could still play at a productive level at age 40 and play with his son, I still think that Griffey and his dad going back-to-back is one of the coolest things that's ever happened in baseball. LeBron assisting or getting an assist from his son.
Throwing an alley-oop to his son.
That would be beyond cool, man. That would be amazing.
I think he's building a $30 million place, palace in Brentwood, I believe, LeBron, down there in Southern California. That would kind of make sense. I mean, you got a $30 million pad. He may want to be close to it. Kind of watch the construction process, see what's going on. I think it'd be good for the NBA. I think it, you know, we've talked about this for years and years and years, those big markets. And, you know, the Knicks have been so bad. The Lakers have been so down now for a decade. I think it'd be good for the NBA to get LeBron back out west. Good news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Bobby Wagner was ranked number 21 in the NFL Network's top 100 players list. It's the highest ranking he's ever received.
That makes sense, and good news there. Bobby Wagner is now the second best player in the Seahawks, right? He's second best player in this team after Russell Wilson.
Ooh. Yeah, I think with Earl out. Yeah.
I think he's number one.
You think he's the best player on the team?
Yeah, best player. Maybe not the most important, but the best player.
I'd accept the argument. I still think I'd go with Russell Wilson, but I think you guys would have a pretty good case to be
infinitely
made for Bobby
harder
Wagner.
To be a quarterback than a linebacker.
Yeah, I don't think it makes him the best player, but yeah.
He's the best at his position. I mean, he's probably at worst the number two middle linebacker in the game, whereas Russell's somewhere in what, the four to six range, probably. Yes. But man, Bobby Wagner is awesome, and I'm just excited that DJ Swearinger was there making comments about it in the video, right, Kyle?
He was doing his best.
Every time I see him play, he's making your tackles for losses. He's running down the screen.
Bobby Wagner sniffs it out and he dumps Thompson just as he touches the ball.
He's jacking up a tight end.
Ferocious music.
Yeah,
is that Bobby Wagner's music?
Charge him.
So I believe that's going to put Russell now somewhere in the top 20, a place that he has not been. We've not seen Russell yet in this, I believe, top 100 list. Bobby was 21. Doug was the only other one in the top 100. No, Cam was still in the top 100, even as beat up as he was. Yeah, that's good. That's good news. And the rest of the league and his peers and everybody realizing just how elite Bobby Wagner really is.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Seahawks begin their mandatory minicamp today, and Earl Thomas will not be there.
Yeah, I think it's bad news. I think you hit the reset button. You'd sure love to see Earl here. If Earl wants to get a deal done or believes there was any possibility of getting that done, he would be here, but he doesn't. His representation doesn't believe that deal is going to get done. And I don't think the Seahawks have any desire to get that deal done. So I think that's bad news with the program hitting the reset button.
So that's yesterday's news. Not even news anymore. We already knew this was going to be the case yesterday. I can't believe you guys are even still talking about this. It's old news. Why are you beating a dead horse?
Hey, can you bring that music down, Kyle? Howdy, is it possible?
Are you sure Earl's going to not show up?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I think he might forget and show up.
Is it? Well, we don't have time to do this now.
Oh,
but,
shoot!
Yes.
I forgot I said I wouldn't be here.
So, can't you imagine? Earl just shows up and is like, Earl, you said you weren't coming. You're holding out. I know, but I wanted to play with everybody. I love playing football.
I mean, Dave Lyman sees this. That's what I was going to ask you for. I don't think we have time. Maybe we'll do it later in the final hour here. But Dave sees this so entirely different than you and I.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that promo that you put together with Lyman saying, you know what? Who's to say he can't be Nelson Cruz? Right? And just keep getting better with age and play at, at an unbelievably high level for the next 5 years. And if that's the case, why don't you pay him $13 million?
I guess who's to say is that he plays a sport that's much more difficult than baseball to get better as you get older.
I mean, the answer is in the article that Danny posted today at 710sports.com, and he looks at all of the players that the Seahawks have paid at that age. Cliff Averill, Marshawn Lynch, Michael Bennett, and Cam Chancellor, they've gotten a total of like 36 games out of them.
Yeah, I don't think any of them even got to the extension part of those deals, right? They fronted some money on those and kind of had the extension behind it.
Averill's the only one, but yeah.
Yeah, besides Cliff, that was it. The other three didn't even get to the extension money.
Right.
So
I mean, the answer is looking at those other guys, and if Dave thinks, I mean, the problem is we've said the same thing about all of them.
Right.
Well, you got to make an exception for Cliff, and you've got to make an exception for Marshawn, and you've got to make an exception for Michael Bennett, and you've got to make an exception for Cam Chancellor, and now you're going to say the same thing with Earl. And maybe Earl will be the one of that five that it would actually pan out for, but at this point, the odds, I would say, are pretty much against
it. Is that like a C-U-Z, or like the back end of because?
Not going to answer that.
Okay.
It's a double entendre, Brock. Right. You can just wonder forever exactly what I meant. Our good cuz John Morosi will join us, talk some baseball next. It's Brock and Salk.